the next time this year that the Arizona Cardinals linebacking core becomes less than tough, I'm going to Ken Wisenhunt and I'm going to take Evelyn Sparks and we'll teach them how to be tough. It wouldn't be right if you weren't there. When I was 38 years old, I decided and subsequently convinced my wife that we needed a slower pace of life. So we decided, I decided, and she went along with moving from the big city to Central America, Central United States, to the state of Missouri. I had a business trip planned. The timing was right. So I sent her with instructions to Missouri to buy a place. That's what they call it, you know. A place. I had envisioned a job that would require 8 hours a day, and then fishing would occupy my time after that. I gave her the price parameters of our budget, and I said, the only thing that I want is a pond to fish in, a fishing pond of my own. When you looked at my pond, you couldn't see the bottom. So I knew it was deep. We put in special precautions so that our son, their dad, wouldn't go out into water over his head, which he had a propensity to do. Sometimes the water would be muddy and sometimes clear, but you could never see the bottom of my pond. In the years before that, we used to vacation in Montana. And there were spots in Montana when you could look down at one lake called Goose Lake and another called Otter Lake. And you could see the bottom so clearly that you could see the fish and you could just crystal clearly see the bottom. We found out that our pond in Missouri at the deepest part was 3 foot deep. It was just muddy. And the lake in Missouri was 30 foot deep. But it was, the Montana Lake was 30 foot deep, but it was clear. That reflects the kind of teaching that Jesus did. Jesus taught in a way that is easy to see, but deep in content. And we should be thankful for that. Throughout the Bible, there are symbols given. Symbols that help us to understand spiritual truths. That's the definition of a symbol. Something that is known and seen to teach something else that by reason of ignorance is unknown, to form an association between fact and sight. That's why in Mark 12 and verse 37, Jesus is reported to say, and the common people heard him gladly. Instead of striving to be deep Jesus strove to be understood. A major difference. In 400 BC, Aristotle and Plato put forth volumes of philosophy. Around the first century, in fact, in 45 and 46 AD, Cato spouted forth reams of philosophy. And I'm convinced that if you have ever studied those philosophers, that you, like the people when they were alive upon the earth, have difficulty understanding what they said. Because the message they had was not clear. It was just muddy. In fact, you could enter into quite a lively discussion with a student of Plato with regards to what he did or didn't mean in each of his writings. I want to look with you this morning and tonight at some symbols that the Bible uses to describe the will of God. How does he relate to our mind in a way that we can understand? First, symbol is a lamp or a light. In Psalms 119 and verse 105, a verse that's always used as a memory verse in most every class, the Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Notice how succinct that is. So then, if I want to know God's message to me concerning his revelation, the style of his revelation, I can transfer my information, my knowledge about a light to that, and I know what God expects it to do for me. That's the simplicity of a symbol. I also read in Psalms 119 and verse 130, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." Thus, it should not surprise us that the New Testament calls the members of God's church children of light. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 5. We are children of that message that God gave us that illuminates the way of our life. What does that message do? It directs us on how to be saved. It directs us on how to live the new life. New as opposed to what? Being a child of God as opposed to not being a child of God. What is the message of God to those that become Christians? It's a light. It allows them to see the way, how to overcome every difficulty. The answer to that is in God's Word. You want to overcome anger? The answer is in God's Word. You want to overcome pride? The answer is in God's Word. You want to overcome depression? The answer is in God's Word. All of these things that the world seems to discover answers to have been given clearly in God's Word as though it were a lamp unto our feet and a light to our pathway. The Word of God gives us hope for the new day. How do we manage when those that are dear to us precede us in death? How does a parent make it when a child dies in an untimely fashion? The answer to that is in the Word of God. The answer to the, you know, we say to one another during troubled times, just take one step at a time. You ever said that? Have you ever been in a circumstance where you could not see? Mammoth Cave in Kentucky, Carlsbad Caverns in New Mexico, a place where you could hold your hand like that and couldn't see it. Well, I want to suggest to you that in those environments, one step is scary. Why? Because there's no light to give us assurance. That's what the Word of God does for us. When further considering that subject, I want to look at an illustration of an old lamp. You say, well, you got the wrong slide up there. That's a barrel. Well, there's a story attached to the barrel. When I was 21 and we had a wedding shower, a member of the particular congregation that Judy and I attended was one that went somewhere that they auctioned off barrels that were sealed. And no one knew the contents of those barrels. It's sort of like today when these guys go and buy storage rooms, storage sheds, and they bid on them, and sometimes they find valuable stuff, and most of the time they find junk. Well, Charlie Mann bought barrels. I don't know where he got it. And our wedding present from him was a barrel. Well, now, you laugh, but there could have been $1 million in that barrel. So I remember in front of all of these people prying open the lid of that barrel. And in that barrel was an old, dirty, musty-looking lamp. Well, when covered with dust, a lamp can be of no benefit. But what happens when you clean the lamp off? There are two reasons why that lamp was of no benefit to us until we cleaned it off. First, it had been rejected by somebody at some point, unplugged and put in a barrel. Second, It wasn't turned on. You may have lamps in your house and they don't provide for you light until you turn them on. There are some people that have lamps that you go like that and they turn on. I don't know how that works. But you get light. But first, you've got to do something to turn it on. Now let's make a spiritual application. You say, man, this is really simplistic teaching. This is the kind of teaching Jesus did. Now, he did it a lot better than I can do it, but this is what he chose to get into Nick and Mai's mind so that we can understand important things. Well, the spiritual application is the Bible will not provide light to those that reject it. I know people that own Bibles that have never opened the Bible. They've just rejected. I know people that have opened the Bible and saw things within the pages of the Bible that they could not cope with, so they rejected it. They were like that rich young man that said he had many things and the message of Jesus to sell them made him unhappy and he went away sorrowful. Why is that? Well, nothing wrong with the message or the way of delivery. The problem is that the person who got that lamp, that word, said, no thanks. Second, that Bible must be turned on through study and believing and obeying. Just because we have a Bible and we've accepted the fact that we own a Bible does us no good with regard to walking on that path that's illuminated unless we turn on that lamp in our life. And then we come to the point where we ask ourselves, how available in our world is this lamp? How available is the light to that which we refer to often as a lost and dying generation? I would suggest to you that it's available to virtually everyone in our nation. I've never been to a hotel that didn't have a Bible in the room. Maybe you have. I've never heard of a person walk into a church and say, I have no money, but I would like to be illuminated by the Word of God. Would you give me a Bible? I've never heard of someone saying no. There's not a person that sits in here today that wouldn't give somebody a Bible, is there? What are we doing when we give somebody a Bible? We're giving them an old lamp. And that lamp has to be turned on, and it has to be taken into our life. Then what does it do? It shows us the pathway to walk to salvation. That's what that lamp does. Thus, in John 3 and verse 19, and this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. I recall back in Missouri, right near that pond I showed you a picture to, there was a tree that had fallen down and had been down for who knows how long. And you could go and you could pick up a branch of that tree and move it, and there were all kinds of ugly things running from underneath that. Scary kinds of things back there. They're big enough to put a saddle on. And they would just run. We know the difference between light and darkness, don't we? Yesterday, after a discussion day before yesterday with my grandchildren about scorpions, we went out into the storage room to clean out, and I noticed that Reed, he's the one on my right here, was a little careful when he reached back in that dark corner to take out something to throw it away. You know why? Because it wasn't illuminated. Now you and I better be careful when we try anything in our life where we haven't read and understood the will of God to illuminate the path, because there's danger in some places. That's why God used a lamp. Another symbol is a fire. I call your attention to the first half of Jeremiah 23 and verse 29. We'll start tonight's lesson with the second half of that verse. But the first half of that verse says, is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord? Well, anyone that understands metallurgy, and I would admit that it took me a while before I preached this sermon the first time to study up on metallurgy, because I didn't want to say anyone that understands metallurgy without knowing about it. Anybody that understands the field of metallurgy understands that fire purifies and cleanses. If we just understand that fact, that fire purifies and cleanses, we get a giant step toward being what we want to be spiritually, don't we? God's word destroys the false and leaves the pure and the genuine in the hearts of humans. You put gold to fire and it takes out the impurities and leaves the genuine. Just like fire. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 3, "Now you are clean through the word I have spoken to you." Why am I clean through the word that you've spoken? Because it's like a fire. It purifies me. John 15 and verse 3. Just as that great physical ball of fire that we call the sun, just like that holds together our solar system, the word of God, which is our fire, holds together spirituality. We can understand one, we can understand the other. The Bible that thaws cold hearts out, when applied to spiritually frigid people, will result in a softness that will accept the word that is eliminated and is like a fire. In Luke 24 and verse 32, the Bible says, "And they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?" What was Jesus doing to those scriptures? He was applying light to them so that they could be a fire within the hearts of the recipients. What did that cause? It caused them to move, to do something. That's why you have a fire called a spark in a spark plug. If you have a spark plug in your car and there's no fire, you're not going anywhere. See how that relates to what the Bible teaches us? Now let me ask you, as parents and grandparents, is there anything that we've talked about this morning that a 4-year-old son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter couldn't understand? What do you think? You've got 4-year-olds. They know so much with these computer things that they scare me. So doesn't that tell us that the age of teaching the children, the young children, is not past? It's the pattern that Jesus gave us concerning the revelation of his word to make it available to those. And you know what he said? Train up the young so that when other days come, they'll not leave the faith. Why won't they? Maybe because when there were 3 or 4, you started talking to them about the lamp and the fire and related it to God's word. Let's talk for a minute about congregations that are dying from a lack of activity. They're widespread through our culture. Congregations that just are just shriveling up, that once were important in the movement of God's word. Why do they fail? Well, it's because they don't get enough of the word in their hearts. Because that's the way you succeed as a congregation. I know I can show you churches, beautiful 400 capacity churches that are magnificent on the inside with 30 people worshiping. So it's not a standpoint of comfort. They have a comfort. They're protected from the elements. I can show you congregations that are very active socially. They have a lot of potlucks. I can show you congregations that are active in visiting the sick. They go to the hospitals and to the nursing homes with regularity. I can show you congregations that have several programs for the young people that really hit hard on the motivation for the young to go to some college camp. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a college camp. And there's nothing wrong with being comfortable or having social events together or visiting the sick. But if you want the church to grow, you need the Word planted in the heart. That's what you need. And as Monta Vista continues on in its journey toward the end of the world, those of you who are here better make sure that the primary focus of this place is planting the Word in the heart of a people. That's the focus. There was one time a young lady, the wife of a father whose family attended regularly. They were great at social things. And they were great at kids' games kinds of things. And the wife went to Dale and said, "The problem with the Bible study program here is you spend too much time with the Bible. You think about that. That's dangerous kinds of thought. The secret to success in the Lord's church is the Word of God being taught and studied and imbibed within the hearts of man." There are congregations that I'm aware of that the first thing they ask of a preacher when they interview for the job is, "Well, how is your visitation to the hospital? And how about your visitation to the widows?" And while that's important, it is not as important as providing for a preacher the time to study the Word of God and to present it. That's his job. If the scriptures teach anything about individual responsibility in the visiting of the sick, it's the elder's job. I understand that it's everybody, but if there's anybody drawn out in the scripture, you find one passage where that's anyone specified other than the elders. Just find it. And that's a danger in congregations of the Lord's church. A steady diet of God's Word, or there will be a terrible void. Take out the song book that you have before you and turn to the number that's been announced as a song of invitation. We had a visitor come this morning at the invitation of one of our members, and he was here before very many arrived, and I was speaking with him, and he said that he was examining various churches to determine where he would worship because he had decided to give his life to God. And I commended him for such words, and I said, "Compare closely the things that you hear and the things that you see done with the Word of God." He said, "I'm not concerned about conforming to the Bible. I want to feel comfortable." Well, now, a second or third generation Christian would go, But that's the attitude of many people, looking for a place to feel comfortable without regard to the necessity of being right with the Word of God. The Word of God teaches clearly how to become a Christian. If you haven't seen in the pages of inspiration that plan, there are several here that would love to sit down with you and open the book and not give you an opinion, but to read with you God's Word concerning becoming a Christian. If you've done that, and this morning is the time that you've selected to leave the camp of Satan and join the camp of the Lord to be a Christian, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.